I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. Revolution has been on my mind for a few days. It started at a screening of Catching Fire. Revolution is a key part of the Hunger Games narrative. But as I watched that fictional rebellion unfold, my mind also turned to the real-life calls for revolution in Ukraine, which is where we start the program. Today, thousands of protesters were on the streets of Kiev. Again, they blockaded key government buildings and took over Independence Square. That's the same square that was the epicenter of Ukraine's Orange Revolution some 9 years ago. The outrage then was over a rigged vote in favor of a man named Viktor Yanukovych. He is now the country's president, and protesters are livid about his decision to turn Ukraine's back on the European Union. The BBC's David Stern is in Kiev. Earlier today, he told us what the protesters are calling for during their demonstrations.
Revolution, out or down with the band, the band of criminals, they mean. They sing the Ukrainian national anthem quite a lot, to be honest. And most of all, I'd say they chant Ukraine is Europe, in reference to the issue that sparked all of this, Ukraine's integration, or as it was, paused integration with the EU.
Right. I was going to say I hadn't heard the word Europe or European Union in any of those chants until you mentioned that last one there. So what are they saying now about joining the EU? Is that still on the table for them?
Well, the EU says it's on the table. They say is when Ukraine is ready and when Ukraine wants, they're more than happy to receive them. But of course, there are still some outstanding issues, and they seem to be growing with these demonstrations.
How has the Ukrainian government responded to these blockades of government buildings?
Well, the Ukrainian government has been very careful in its response. And in fact, we haven't really heard from President Yanukovych at all since the giant demonstrations and clashes yesterday. There have been reactions from the government. The Speaker of the Parliament has called for dialogue between the opposition and the government. The opposition is sticking by its demands that the government of Prime Minister Mykola Azarov resign, that they have fresh presidential elections, fresh parliamentary elections. President Yanukovych apparently has spoken to EU leaders, and he is now sending a delegation to Brussels to reopen discussions, as they say, about some aspects of the association agreement.
Are there any signs that Yanukovych is nervous about these demonstrations?
Yes, I think he's very nervous. There are a lot of signs. What that nervousness means and what he will ultimately do is really the big question. Nobody knows. So the government does feel pressure. There's no question about it. And they are making moves. In fact, President Yanukovych has said that he's going to investigate police violence. And when the police did crack down on the demonstrators, he said that he was deeply outraged. There has been reaction and there has been some moves towards the demonstrators, but obviously it's not what they want, ultimately.
And yet I hear demonstrators are starting to set up tents in the city. It doesn't sound like they're going anywhere soon.
No, they're not. These protests have been very much demonstrator-driven. The opposition has been basically swept along by a wave. There are a lot of indications that they're either not in control or they're just reacting.
The BBC's David Stern there in Kiev. For a little more background on the crisis there, we turn to another BBC reporter, Irina Taranyuk, who grew up in the western part of Ukraine. Why do the EU and Russia care so much about Ukraine, Irina? I mean, give us a sense of why this little former Soviet republic means so much.
Marco, can I take up the issue with you about little former Soviet republic? It's the largest geographically country in Europe. Pardon me, it's not so little, is it? Why does Ukraine matter geopolitically? Because without Ukraine, Russia will never again be an empire. And since coming back as the president of Russia, Mr. Putin has not tried to conceal his biggest ambition to recreate the USSR under the new name of Eurasian Economic Union. Ukraine, of course, is not willing to go back to the past, to go back to the authoritarian Russia's control, so Ukraine is trying to lean west towards Europe, more democratic, more open, more transparent. But is Europe prepared to embrace huge Ukraine like hell it is? Europe has a lot of problems of its own, economic crisis, post-expansion. It's not ready for Ukraine yet.
Is there something else about Ukraine's connection to Russia, though, that has less to do with geopolitics and maybe more to do with culture? Like, what is Ukraine's cultural identity with that of Russia? Is it connection?
Well, Marco, that's a problem. Ukraine and Russia share the same roots, the same origins. Russia considers Kiev to be the capital of the Russian so-called civilization, the cradle of Eastern Slavic culture. And one of the mottos of Ukrainian protesters is, Putin, if you love Ukraine, let it go. Let it go where Ukraine chooses to go, which is towards Europe.
Yeah, West. I mean, that's got to be creating tension, because the way you describe it somehow feels like Russia has an odd sense of ownership over Ukraine.
It sure does. And that's what Ukraine dislikes quite so much, because having been colonized by Russia for centuries, Ukraine wants, or just getting used to its newly place in the modern world. And of course, mistakes are being made. The protests in Ukraine are probably making President Yanukovych think twice about what he did last week when he declined to sign the association agreement with the EU, because he didn't expect the popular mood to explode and to be quite so vehemently against his pause in European integration.
Irina, if I think back to the end of the Cold War, it seemed like there were new countries being carved out of the former USSR almost every other day. Did Russia ever put up a fight with Ukraine breaking away for its own independence?
The 15 constituent parts of the USSR were presented with a fait accompli by three presidents, Boris Yeltsin, Vladislav Shashkevich, and Leonid Kravchuk. Ukrainian, Belarusian, and Russian leaders signed the agreement that dissolved the USSR, and other former constituent parts of the USSR still begrudge this trio the fact that they were not consulted. And some of them, like Russian President Vladimir Putin, still regard the dissolution of the USSR as the biggest geopolitical catastrophe of the 20th century. Mm. Well, Ukrainians, on the whole, disagree.
You know, there's this idea that's been floated that maybe Ukraine should go 50% Russia, 50% EU. But what do you think about that?
Marco, if only it were that easy. Yes, there are people, particularly in the east and in the south of Ukraine, who would rather stick to the past. But nobody, even Russian-speaking Ukrainians in the east, seriously consider going back to Russia. They want to be independent. They don't want to go to the EU much either, but they do want European standards of living in Ukraine. They want European standards of justice in Ukraine, education, culture, and civil servant that would make them proud rather than be the model of bribery and corruption.
The BBC's Irina Taranyuk, thanks so very much for your time.
Thank you, Marco.